I know that we're still celebrating from a lot of things, not only the baptisms, but this past Wednesday, we had a great night at Fuse, and during the reflection time, Hollis came back there, one of our workers, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know your youngest son, Silas, he just led someone to Christ out there in the audience." I was like, man, old proud papa right there. So I think all of my kids have led some people to Christ. And we're talking about a series right now that we kicked off 2 weeks ago called Keep Casting. And today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about taking your talents and being able to transfer them to someone else and how that God himself is wanting to transfer. And Josh is going to be featured in today's episode. And I thought for context, background, y'all needed to hear a little bit. So Josh, before we started shooting this series, what level of experience at all in fishing for largemouth bass did you have?
Absolutely zero.
Absolutely zero, which made it a great shoot, folks. And so what they're getting ready to see so that they can know, like, where were we at when this next scene happened?
So we were on a four-day trip. This was day four, and prior to the trip, you had said, hey, everybody's going to catch a fish on this trip. Everybody. Day one, people got fish. Day two, people. It was day four, and everybody had caught a fish. It was amazing, except for me. I didn't have a fish at all. So this, what you're about to see, is day four of no fish for Josh. So roll the clip.
Roll it.
Thing about it is that, you know, with experience, you know what those fish are looking for. And so we caught probably five or six fish, and I was like, okay, now I got it dialed in. I want Ben to have a win. Put a lure on for him. The first one wasn't working because he didn't know exactly how to work that one. So I was like, okay, adjustment, audible, something similar but different, and put a whopper plopper on. He started pulling it back, boom! And I can't even tell you, when you get to help somebody get a win, and see the joy, man, that's what it's all about.
He gave me the spot, I threw it out there, I did the way he instructed me to do it, and it produced.
I hope that we'd start thinking about, man, how can we take the talents that we have, transfer them to someone else, and help them get the win.
Lift it up.
Yeah! Oh my gosh. Last day. Tell us about it.
Oh, the drought is over.
Yeah, let's celebrate Josh's catch right there. We were at a pretty incredible fishery where that went down, and I thought, man, this is going to be amazing. Everybody's going to catch fish, and I hyped it up to the guys, and then conditions change and everything else, and that was day four, and Josh had grinded for 3 days fishing, and man, I thought, is it going to happen? And we rolled up on this spot, and everybody else had sat down at this point. And I was like, hey guys, just let me try to figure this out. And I threw it into this tree and I lifted it over that tree. And when I lifted it over that tree, a fish, whack, bam, hit it. And I did not set the hook. I was like, guys, get the cameras out, start rolling. Josh, get up here. Josh cast it in there. I was like, work it real slow. You see me like telling him like slow. And when he lifted over that same branch, fish, wham, hit it. Amazing. Captured it. And we got to see live whenever someone is willing to take guidance, how that it's going to produce something that if they don't know and if they haven't had that experience, they're never going to get that catch. The first scene that you saw was Ben was casting there, and we literally got to see the unboxing of a lure that had never touched the water, tie it on, these fish are schooling, he reels it back, boom, catches a fish. And I want to say, I wish that it was just that easy, that you could just do that, but it's a very long, arduous process that makes fishing very difficult. But how amazing is it to see that the the thing that you're passionate about, if you put it in someone else's hands, that they get to experience a joy that otherwise they wouldn't get to experience. And today, I think that that's exactly what God is offering us, that he's trying to transfer things to us on a regular basis. And it's how do we interact with his word? Like, do we receive it? Do we resist it? Do we rebel against it? And in today's passage, we're going to see what God is trying to offer us, but then some things that we all do that get in the way. And I promise you that if you would be willing to make an adjustment that we'll share at the end of the message, that it doesn't have to wait a week to change, a month to change, a year to change. We could change the outcome. We could change the context with which you live today if you'll follow this message. In Luke chapter 5, it says, a crowd was pressing in on Jesus, and they desired to hear his word. He was standing beside a lake, and in my mind, that's Gennesaret, but it's Lake Fork. And he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon. That's going to be the Apostle Peter. And he said, hey, will you put out a little bit from the land? And I noticed in that, and we'll mention it in just a moment, but take it, file it for just a moment, that he was like, hey, I need to borrow your boat, and I just want you to trust me a little bit. Oh, man, we'll get to that in just a second. He said, cast out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. First point I want to make this morning is that he can turn your everyday into a stage. Imagine that you're a fisherman and you have a boat, and to you, that boat is a means to make a living, right? This wasn't a pleasure fishing boat. This was I got to catch these fish in this giant net, bring it in, sell it in order to put food on the table. And so Jesus walks in and he says, I need to borrow your boat. And then he uses the thing that you think is the thing that's supposed to provide for you money, and uses it as a stage with which to present God's word. And I wondered, did anyone need to hear this morning, that what you do for a living, if you would put it in his hands, that he could take what you do every day, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a construction worker, a teacher, whatever, it doesn't matter what you do. If you would allow Jesus to get in the boat of who you are and what you do, he could take that and use it as a platform, use it as a pulpit, so that he could present a life-changing message. You notice it says these people were desiring to hear God's word. They were pressing in to hear God's word. I submit to you that the world that you live in is pressing in, looking for answers all the time. And if we don't let him into our everyday, how will he ever, ever use what we do as a stage for what he wants to share? I encourage you, think about, how are you letting him into what you do, and how are you letting him use what you do as a stage that he can share his message of hope with others? Not only that, we see that he says that little part about casting out a little bit. And I thought, if you trust, Jesus is kind of like coming in on the scene. He's always like, if you'll trust me with a little, then it'll always lead to a lot. Isn't that amazing? Like, the little guy that shared his lunch, he shared a little and God would bless it, and now it fed 5,000. The woman in the Old Testament, she had a little bit of oil left, and she was willing to trust God with a little, and then he multiplied it into a lot. And I think a lot of us, we look at our little and we're just like, what is my little ever going to accomplish in this world? And God is saying, hey, trust me with the little. Trust me in the shallow water, and it will lead to a lot of opportunity. It led to a lot of opportunity. Publicly, they got to use their boats to preach his word. But it led to a lot personally, in the sense that the next verse is going to unlock the purpose for Peter's life. And so wrapped up in these opportunities and trusting God is God's chance to reveal himself and what he's trying to do in your life. The next verse, it says, when he had finished speaking, so he's done teaching in the shallow water. Y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know. Sometimes I feel like it's Christmas every Sunday, and I like put the gifts under the tree, and then I just sit back and watch. And I'm excited about this message. Jesus said, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, we're going to see there's a tension between his word and our will, okay? There's always a tension because sin is a part of all of our pictures. We're born with this sin nature passed down all the way from Adam and Eve. So his word is always going to be in conflict with our flesh. Has anybody ever felt like a conflict going on? Like, oh, I really want to just punch this person, but Jesus wouldn't do that. Anybody like, you have that feeling? Like, Jesus would probably let him in, but no. And you like fight that person for that space in that lane. Do you ever like look at yourself from the outside and like, is this really worth it? Does anybody ever have these conversations? I have them every day. And so here is Jesus, and he presents a word. Now, notice that this word is prophetic. You know, he's calling his shot. He says, when he's finished speaking in the shallow, he said, let's go out to the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Jesus told them what was going to happen. Now, the next part of the verse makes it interesting because he says, teacher, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Now, it's interesting that Peter calls him teacher because it's obvious that he realizes from what just happened in his boat that school is in session. A lesson is about to be learned. When Jesus asks you to borrow something, I promise you a lesson is not far behind when he asks you for something and he says, let's go out into the deep water. There's some lessons that we can't learn in the shallow water. There's some lessons that can only be learned in the deep water. And I don't know if that resonates with anyone in here, but has anyone else ever been out into the deep water? Do you know the difference? When you're in the shallow water, if you fall out of the boat, you can touch the bottom. You can see the shoreline. And if you had to, you can walk back. You can make it back to shore. But when you get out in the deep water, you're at the mercy of the deep. Man, there's a lesson in relationships here that you'll find out who your friends are in the deep water. Anybody? And the church said, like, you can hang out in that shallow water all day long and everybody's your buddy, but let hardship, let trouble, let the deep water come into your life. And I promise you, it won't take long that you'll find out where you really stand with others. Here is Jesus saying, I'm going to invite you to the deep water. Are you willing to go with me out into the deep water? Because they had just experienced their worst night. Think about it. It says that they had worked all night and caught nothing. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but nothing equals zero. You can't catch less than zero. So Jesus couldn't have walked up on a worst night of fishing that they had ever had. Have you ever found it interesting that Jesus kind of walks up on some of your worst days? Has anybody ever found this to be true? It's like you're sitting there and you're probably muttering, you're probably mumbling, you're probably grumbling about how bad the night has gone, how bad the week has gone, how bad the month has gone, how bad the year has gone. Some of you, how bad the decade has gone, and you're sitting there and you're washing off your nets and you're probably thinking of a million other ways you could have done it, and here comes Jesus walking up and says, hey, can I borrow your boat? Hey, can we go out into the deep water? You see, God is trying to transfer something to us all the time. If we're not willing to transfer, let him transfer to us, we can't trust him. We'll stay in the shallow water. We'll never move out to the deep. But there's something that's going to be learned out there that's going to change your life forever. For any Christian that's been hanging out in the shallow water where you can still see the land, I promise you at some point, he's going to invite you out to the deep. Don't fear the deep water. There's something out there waiting for you in the deep water. Here is Jesus saying, I want to transfer something to you. And I thought all the promises of God that are in the Bible. He says, I will give you beauty for ashes. Man, I'll give you light for darkness. I'll give you hope when it's hopeless. I can breathe life into death. I just want you to think about all the things that are available that he's trying to transfer. But then in opposition to his word, oftentimes is our will. Because if we're honest in here today, there's not many situations in which you don't know what God's word says, right? But do you ever find like the Apostle Paul, the thing that I know I should do, I really find it hard to do, but the thing that I don't want to do, I find it easy to do. Like eating Cain's chicken. I mean, nobody should want to do that, but my car says yes. It's so easy for me to pull in there. It's so hard to go get a salad. It's just hard for me to, I know I should, but it's hard for me to do. Think about this for a moment, that his word is something we know what we should do. But how many times do you feel almost like that old cartoon where the angel's on one side and the devil's on the other, and you're pulled between these two worlds? And oftentimes your will gravitates away from God. It resists what God is trying to do. You know, in fishing, Peter said, Lord, we fished all night and caught nothing. You can hear below the surface a little bit of, you know, Jesus, your dad's a carpenter, and I'm sure you can make a fine coffee table. But last I checked, you never fished. Fishing isn't on your resume. I'm a fisherman. This is what I do. Therefore, he's like, you know, you ever tried to give somebody the subtle hint? Like, hey, we fished all night and caught nothing. Like, Jesus, we know how this is going to go. You kind of are almost telling God, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but like, God, I know that you can solve everyone else's problem, but I have a unique problem, and I'm not sure you've seen something like this before. You ever feel like that? Like, we can kind of start to feel unique about our discouragement or our shortcomings or the resources that we have, and the next thing you know, we're actually negotiating / arguing with God that my past results indicate I'm not going to have any present result, and so therefore, are you sure, God? Are you sure you want to? And you're arguing with God. I've had a couple of examples of this happen to me in my own life where I was trying to help people catch fish. About 4 or 5 years ago, I traveled up to Estes Park with our students and to visit with our students. And on the last day of camp, there's a little trout farm that they've stocked, a little trout pond. And like 8 or 9 of the kids who never fished a day in their life wanted to go out fishing. And Hollis and I took them out to the front, and you know, these are the most janky gear that you ever had. Like, you know, you ever think you're getting a good tennis racket at a camp? No, you're getting the most like bent, messed up tennis racket. And so I got these rods, and I'm a little bit of a rod snob, and I'm like, I guess I'll use it. It's for the kids. And so we go out there, and we put the little bobber on. Now, in the first service, most people said bobber. So bobber or cork? So raise your hands if it's bobber, like the little float, or cork. Anybody? Okay, Texas is really clearly bobber, okay? So if you want to adjust the depth of your bait, you put this thing on called a bobber, and then you can say 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, whatever, and it floats up from the bottom. Well, we had bobbers on for all these kids, and we had like corn. And so they threw it out there, and nobody was catching a fish. And I was like, you know, now my manhood was on the line. And so I was like, I got to figure this out. And so I was like, okay, we tried different depths. And then finally, we just took the bobber off. We threw it out there, and I lifted it off the bottom. I felt grass was on the bottom, and I lifted it up, and a fish, whack, trout, pulled it in. Now, fish are like a little bit like crazy dogs. You know, like you take a ball and you throw it, like a fish, they will react. So even if they're not wanting to bite, like you can make them, manipulate them into biting. And so I figured it out. You just need to throw it out there on the bottom, jerk it up off, and they catch a fish. Out of 10 kids that were out there, in a matter of 15, 20 minutes, everyone had caught a fish, right? Amazing. Except for one kid. I saw this kid. He was across the pond. And I walked around. Don't worry, he's not here now. And I walked around. And I looked at him, I said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He's like, I'm fishing. I was like, yeah. I was like, everyone else has caught a fish. He's like, yeah. I said, do you want to catch a fish? He said, yeah. And I said, well, we're going to have to take that bobber off because they're on the bottom. And if you keep the bobber on, the bait's not going to go down, and then you're not going to catch a fish. Now, I don't know if you've ever, like, walked your kids down a logical line and then ask them a question at the end of it, and then they give you an answer that makes you question whether or not you're fit to be a parent. I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only one in here, but like, this kid gave me an answer, and I had no answer to his answer. I was like, so you want to catch a fish? He's like, yeah. And I was like, well, we're going to take this bobber off if you want to catch a fish. And he looked at me, I mean, like, dead tractor beam stare. He's like, yeah. But I really like watching that bobber. Now, I don't know if you understand the coach that lives inside of me. Like, I feel like everybody needs to be coached on everything. That's just the way God made me. And I literally just guess, like, you know what? Good luck, buddy. Good luck. And I just, did he catch a fish? No, he didn't catch a fish. This doesn't have a happy ending. No. And I started thinking about, do we ever have these routines that we're committed to that resist God's word? Like, we're not catching anything. We're frustrated, but do we want to change? And I think so many times I've counseled with people and I'm like, hey, you see how everyone else is catching a fish? We can get you to catch a fish. We just got to take this bobber off and we'll throw it out there. And I promise you, your marriage will work. Your parenting will work. Your profession will have purpose. We can do it. And people look at me dead in the eye on a regular basis. And they're like, yeah, but Tim, we just really like watching that bobber. We're frustrated. We're not catching anything. But we don't want to change. Another fishing anecdote. One day I was at Fork with Josh, and we had the best day I've ever had on my boat. We were down in this creek, and there were all these boats around us. And when you go to a fishing spot, and this is a little bit of bass culture, like, you don't want to show up and somebody's on your spot. Now, you have no real ownership, but in your mind, that's my spot, okay? Went into this creek, and there's like 25, 30 boats. It's one of the most busy days I've ever experienced. And so what happens is you're going behind that boat, and in your mind, you start like having this like, well, if a fish is there, they're going to get it first because they're in front of me. And so there's this like unspoken competition that's going on. And as that day went along, we watched boat after boat go in front of us, and they weren't catching anything. And we started off the day not catching anything, and then we started going through all the changes and all the different variations, and then we found a bait that, boom, caught a fish. And I don't know if you've realized my universal term for when I catch a fish is, boom, I don't know why I do that, but that's what I do. And so, boom, we catch fish, and there's people all around us. And so as the boat, next boat comes by us, because we like locked down in this spot, a boat comes by, we have the same conversation every time. I say, have you guys had a good day today? Have you caught anything? And fishermen are really secretive, paranoid people that operate on a scarcity mentality, like I can't give away my secrets, otherwise I'll never catch a fish again. And so you might ask a guy a question, have you caught any fish today? And if they've caught something, they'll say, yeah. And you say, well, what'd you catch them on? This is where lying comes into play. They will say, oh, and it'll be some general answer like they're helping you, but they're really not. And they'll say, oh, I caught it on a soft plastic. Well, a soft plastic, is that a lizard? Is that a 7-inch worm? Is that a straight worm? Is that a creature bait? Is that, what color was it? There's all the colors of the rainbow. What weight did you have on it? Because that affects the fall rate. And so it's infinite, it's a complexity, but they want to give you a general answer that really doesn't help you at all, but they can act like they helped you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? So every boat that went by that day, we said, hey, have you caught anything? And they said, no. And then they always ask rhetorically back, oddly enough, have you caught anything? And we're like, yes, yes, we have. And I told the guys a long time ago, I was like, I want to do the polar opposite because I think it's the Jesus thing to do. And I will tell someone everything. I'm like, we caught it on this bait. We caught it with this weight. We threw it here. This is how we presented it. And I would watch boat after boat go by me, and they didn't make any changes. I remember toward the end of the day, there's father and son were trolling by on the outside of this cove, and same conversation was had. They got to the point, they asked us, we were like, yeah, we were just reeling one in and taking off the hook, and it's a 5-pounder. We're like, cha-ching, take the picture, throw it in. We're hooting and hollering. Best day we've ever had on my boat. And this father and son come by, we have the conversation, and I was like, yeah, we have. We caught him on this lure. I said, do you have any of these in your boat? And he said, no. And I was like, you can have these. I said, come on over here. I'll just give you these. We have plenty of them. And he looked at me. He said, no, we're fine. And I watched that father and son troll down the rest of that bank, go all the way around that cove, and they never caught a fish. I thought, did that father's pride prevent his son from having an opportunity to catch a fish? Gosh, I wonder how well do we take coaching? Do we realize that when God is telling us to do something, do we just troll by God and say, no, I'm good. How are you doing today? I'm good. But you're not good. You're not catching anything. What you're doing isn't producing anything. But your pride is saying, but this is what I like to do. I know that whenever I'm fishing, whenever they're not biting, there's a temptation in the fishing world. We say on a bad day where we haven't caught anything, we say, no, they're not biting. And I had an older guy one time, I was having a conversation with him. I was like, what do you do on days they're not biting? He goes, not biting. What are you talking about? He said, do you eat every day? I was like, yes. He said, so do they. I was like, oh, so it's me on the days that they're not biting. It's not that they're not biting. It's that I don't know how to catch them. I know that whenever Jesus says, let out into the deep water, let your nets down for a catch. Peter says, Lord, we've worked all night. But the next part of this verse, he says, but at your word, I will. Oh, what? If we want to allow God to transfer what he's trying to give us, if we want the beauty for ashes, if we want the light for darkness, if we want the hope for the hopeless, then my will has to lose and his will has to win. God is not offering us suggestions. He's offering us solutions. And the solution is I must surrender and say that I don't know. Because even about the thing that I do, guess who knows how to do it better than you know how to do it? Because there's some things that are not available to you unless Jesus was in the boat. That catch that they have, it says that at your word I will, they let down the nets, put it up there, and it says as they began to draw in the nets, there were so many fish that the nets began to break. They went from their worst day to their best day because His will, Peter's will, lost, and God's will won. Oh, I'm telling you that there's things available to you, but they're not available unless Jesus is in your boat. I know so many people that are frustrated in here. They would say to me, Tim, I've been married for X. I've been in this job for X, and I'm frustrated, and I've tried everything. But what if the difference was Jesus being in your boat? What if you could do the same thing with Jesus in the boat and get a different result? What if with one more cast with him in the boat, you could turn the worst day into the best day of your life? Man, I don't know if you have any routines that need to change. I don't know if you have any pride that needs to be humbled. But I want you to know that God has a catch that's waiting. It's just waiting. I give a fisherman a suggestion, it may work. If God gives you a suggestion, it's not a suggestion, it will work. When he says husbands love the wives as Christ loved the church, and the wives should show a mutual reciprocation of love and respect and sacrifice, let me tell you what, that brand of marriage, if both people commit to it, it works not sometimes, it works all the time. If you parent the way that he says to parent, then you've done your best. And he says when you train up a child, the overwhelming odds begin to be stacked in your favor that you chose to put barriers up instead of letting them run wild. And then all of a sudden, they begin to walk the path that you laid out for them. When you put your finances underneath the umbrella of what God says to you, when you take your profession and then put it underneath his purpose, it always works. You can find the joy, even in the midst of the misery, if you would let his word win and let your will lose. Man, we could change it today. If you had your worst week, I got good news for you. We can turn it into your best week. You say, Tim, how is that even? Put Jesus in the boat. Just listen to me. Before you argue with me, before you tell me how you fished all night and you caught, I know it. But if you put Jesus in the boat, and you surrender everything to him, I promise you, it'll be the best day of your life. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you take this word, that you weave it into our hearts, that God, we say yes. We say yes to the deep water, God. Even though we're tired, God, even though we've worked hard all night and it didn't yield, if you tell us to cast one more time, God, we will. If you tell us to forgive one more time, God, we will. If you tell us to reach out, even though they don't deserve it, one more time, God, we will. I pray today that we would all consider what is available with Jesus in the boat. Would you guys stand and worship with us today?